Morning. Welcome this morning. Okay, so next Sunday, a couple announcements. Next Sunday's service, 11 a.m. Sunday school starts up again on January the 5th, and men's Bible study will start up again on January the 8th. Friday Bible study will start up on January the 10th. The annual meeting agenda is posted at the back, and the annual meeting will be January 18th at 1 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests? Okay, Levi will read the psalm, and Jordan will say the prayer, and Tom will bring the message.
Psalm this morning is Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath shewed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure, they stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever.
Storm, we bless and honor. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessings we have gathering around your word, fellowship, and for many of us, the ability to spend time with family that we may not see all the time. And most especially this time of year, we thank you for sending the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and pray that we could always believe in him and to be a light in this world, tell others who have not yet heard or believed in Jesus that they could also believe and unto salvation. Pray for the speaker this morning, open his understanding in his mouth, and we pray for all the listeners that we could also understand and be strengthened with thy word. And pray for all the believers, wherever they're at in the world, that you'd give us each our daily bread and everything that we need for each day, for each moment, to strengthen us in our various challenges and especially to keep us in faith until our faith becomes sight at the end of this life. And let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus, with you. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from His Son be granted unto you this day, this hour of worship, through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, I spoke a bit on the Bride of Christ and spoke for approximately around a half an hour and kind of tried to finish that. So you're going to be shocked to understand that if I would have just read two verses, we could have got out of here. So I'm going to read those two verses to finalize that. And it's in Galatians 4, 4 and 5. Why did Jesus come and why was he born? But when the fullness of the time was come, when God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, the Jewish nation, the called before the foundation of the world that were Jews, that we might, as Gentiles, receive the adoption of sons. So the birth of Christ had its purpose, and now that the birth has happened, and to all them that were born from above and can understand the truth of the gospel and the knowledge of the Holy One, we can be thankful that he came and is come and dwells in our hearts through that Holy Spirit and guides and directs. Before I read the text, I just want to say what I'm not trying to say today. And Jeremiah says it best in the 17th chapter from 9 to 11. And I'll read it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does. And God is and does. And the next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and in his end shall be a fool. It brings the thought, what is motivating you, or who is motivating you to do the things that you do? And that's what the text is about today in the book of Ezekiel, 36th chapter, where Ezekiel is speaking, and he's getting information from God, and God is speaking to him. In Ezekiel's time, it was a wicked generation, no different than the time we are in, but the people were struggling. They were dealing in idolatry. They were not worshiping the one true God. So God, being God and being a loving God and a just God, determined that he would send something to us that would help us. And in the 26th verse of 36th chapter of Ezekiel, we'll read it. We'll read the text. It says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes. I'm not doing this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy namesake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, set it apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Set it apart in your heart so that it is preeminent. Which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. The children of God, God the Father will be sanctified, set apart in the heart of believers, because the heart will be a new heart that will dominate the old man in the flesh and will win in every battle. So it's when it says this, it shall know that I am the Lord, because saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified, set apart in your heart, basically before their eyes. There'll be something different about the heart of the Christian. Something that stands out. Something that is different from the world. And they need this. And this is the Holy Spirit that dwells in the heart of all believers today. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, every tribe, nation, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh that is able to be molded and made and conformed to the image of Christ. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave you, your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. God is creating a new heart in the believer so that it can be molded and fashioned in the way that it is in the likeness of his Son. And if we read in Ezekiel earlier on in chapter 11, it gives a little more of a picture of what it's talking about. Verses 14 to 21 and 11. God is gathering Israel. And it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man equals the called, the chosen. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man almost 100 times. The call of God. Thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord unto us in this land given in possession. Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Why? So that we can actually seek God through that Holy Spirit that dwells. Then they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So the responsibility of the Christian that does not or rejects the idea of a new heart or a change in purpose or a change in direction or a repentance that is granted by the love of God. So we have the heart. And that's basically what this text is about in Jeremiah or in Ezekiel. The functions of the physical heart. James should be explaining this, are to pump blood to and oxygen around the body and deliver waste products, carbon dioxide, back to the lungs to be removed. The heart consists of four chambers, each separated by valves which direct the flow of blood. Conditions affecting the heart include coronary heart disease, angina, heart attack, heart failure, heart valve diseases, abnormal heart rhythms, including atrial fibrillation, heart inflammation, congenital heart disease present from birth, and rheumatic heart disease. These are all the things, the conditions that affect the physical heart. So what do? We try to make ourselves healthy. We ingest things into our bodies to make ourselves healthy, and we recognize that that is a good thing. It's a good thing to get exercise. It's a good thing to be healthy and eat the right foods, build the muscles that we have, because that's a physical thing to do. However, it cannot be the focus. And why do we say that? Because 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of a life that is now and of that which is to come." So it's saying here, godliness is an awareness of God's sovereignty over all aspects of our life. And knowledge, the knowledge of God and the truth in Scripture, the influence that truth brings to us so that we can make right choices. So if our focus is on physical exercise and physical, and that's taking a lot of time and not a lot of time out of your day, how much more would the knowledge of the truth of the gospel, knowledge of the word, the knowledge of God be much more effective? Because you will know, because this is an eternal position. You will know you are going to heaven because you know the word and you know the promises of God. The spiritual heart is used over 1,000 times in the Bible. The heart is considered to be the center of our emotions, desires, passions, and appetites. Conditions affecting the spiritual heart are the influence of the triune God, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, the devil, the world, and the flesh does affect the heart. Any influence of comfort or discomfort affects the heart. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to understand a little bit more about the heart through Scripture. And that's really the purpose of Ezekiel in his teachings. Is he's been told by God that I will create in you a new heart that's moldable and makeable and easy to make into the image of Christ through the power of that Holy Spirit. And that's basically what the heart is. So what is the heart? We're trying to figure out, and we've got to remember the first verse in Jeremiah. The only person that understands the heart is God. And we fail. So when somebody says to you, "My heart just told me to do this," read the Jeremiah. Who can know the heart? And it's God that is the one that's trying the reins, and it's the God the Father that's the one through that Holy Spirit that is directing us. So we're going to look at some verses here, read some verses throughout Scripture to kind of give us a bigger picture of what the heart is, and that's really the purpose today through this text. In Proverbs 4, in the book of Proverbs, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." What are you doing? The words, listen to the word of God. The words, this is the Father speaking to a son. Incline your ear to what is being said. Do not let them depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be diligent to understand that the heart, your heart, is being molded and made in the image of Christ. And at the same time, the potter is creating a heart that is gracious, a heart that is just, a heart that is merciful, a heart that is at peace and at rest. In Proverbs 3:1-6, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. It doesn't say my body. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Truth, mercy. So shall thy find favor, grace, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 19:21. We're trying to build a picture, paint a painting of what the heart is. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 14:30. He that oppresseth, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. How is a heart made sound? Through the influence of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through the influence of the Word of God, the water in the Word, the power of the Word, the discernment of the Word, the sharp and can discern, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. A merry heart. A heart that is confident in the potter, a heart that is happy because they're part of the kingdom. Happy because they're a brother to Christ. Happy because they're sealed until the day of redemption. Happy because they're at rest in the work of the cross. A merry heart goes in and out and finds green pasture. Is not concerned about what may come upon them, because the potter will protect them, because there's a hedge around them that are his. 23:26 of Proverbs. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine heart observe my ways. You are sons of God, daughters of Christ. Do you understand who God the Father is, who Jesus the Son is, through the bridge, the Holy Spirit? Do we understand? Do we observe his ways? Are we influenced by his ways? Are we influenced by his word? What does the psalmist say? 7:9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. God will try the hearts of his believers and reins. He'll rein them in. He will allow the reins to loosen. He will tighten them. When he's trying our hearts, he's making us better. The most read psalm probably in the Bible is the 51st Psalm. King David had just committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he killed Bathsheba's husband. Put that on your conscience. So when he says here in the 10th verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm guilty before you. I've done wrong. Can you create in me a new heart? A clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me so I do what's right and not what's wrong. Influence me through your word, through you as being the Father, the Potter. And Psalm 73:26. And there's probably many more in songs. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. And my portion forever. My portion today. This day is a day that we have. We might not have tomorrow, but reality is, if we don't have tomorrow, it is our forever. And if we have 10 years more, that's our forever. And if we have 30 or 50. So what he's saying is, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is my portion. He will direct the heart. He will cause the heart to make right choices. He will influence the heart when they make wrong choices to make right choices. And through the wrong choices, you will learn and glean. You will suffer. And we will be made more towards Christ because he suffered more than anyone. Because he received all our sins. Colossians 3:12. The building blocks of the heart that God is creating in the vessel of clay. Put on therefore as the elect of God, the chosen, the called, the bride, the sons of men, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is the responsibility of the Christian. To have a heart of compassion, being meek, being merciful, kind, humble, forgiving, why? Because he forgave you. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How is it possible to be pure in heart? How can our heart be totally pure? Blameless. Because you've received the righteousness of Christ through the work of the cross. You've been imputed with that righteousness. You are pure in heart. God sees the work of the cross. God sees the 33 perfect years. Your sin was put on Christ. And it was condemned there in the cross of Calvary, and it stayed there. And God sees us as pure in heart. That is the only way we can see God. Because if we have a guilty heart, we will focus on the guiltiness of our heart. If we understand that we've been made pure, holy, and blameless, because the potter is making a bride that way, then we are pure, blameless, and holy, and pure. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. What are you focusing on? What are we focusing on? Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There are no thieves in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you are focusing on. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What are we focused on? The author and finisher of our faith. What the Father can do with the clay vessel. He created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. We are His greatest creation. The bride of Christ. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The focus of the Christian is on the potter who molds the clay into a vessel of honor that is not fitted for destruction, but is fitted for the bridegroom, who is holy, pure, and blameless. And is worthy of that bride. So God is cleaning us up. He is creating a heart that is valuable. John 3:19-21. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, there is therefore no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation. But for if our heart condemn us, what's the part of the heart that's condemning us? The influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Our confidence is towards what the potter is creating in the clay vessel. And if He can create the world in 6 days, unbelievable what He can create from dust in a very short time. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because you're at peace We do not war against flesh and blood. We pray. We're at peace because we're confident in the potter that he's molding and making you more and more, and setting you apart more and more, and making you love more and more. John 14, the Gospel of John. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because you're not the one that's building it. You don't have to worry about your heart. Yes, we have to guard our hearts. But God will influence that also, so that you are able to guard your hearts. You have heard that I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye shall believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Basically, Jesus is saying he's going to be gone for 40 days. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to be gone, and the Comforter will come. And the prince of this world, which is Satan, hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go and hence. How is it possible for us to love God or seek after God if we do not have help with the Holy Spirit? It is impossible. God has to give us that Holy Spirit so we can seek after God. Because the Bible says, no, not one seeks after me. But when you're born from above and when you've got the Holy Spirit, when the potter has apprehended you and taken over that clay vessel and given you a new heart, you are able to seek because of the influence of the new man, the influence of that person, has dominion over the old man, the flesh, and the devil, and the world. Ephesians 3:14-20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages and without end. Amen. And 4:32 of Ephesians. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. the heart of the Christian. That he's being molded. That was as hard as a rock at one time until God gave you a new heart. So it's moldable and pliable. And it can be influenced to do good works. And is it ordained to do good works? And the reason why we do good works is because we are saved. We are part of the family. We are sons and daughters in Christ. It's the clay vessel that is being influenced by God the Father through Jesus the Son, by that indwelling Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to do good in his kingdom and shun evil in his kingdom. But the heart is not condemned. The heart is lifted up. The heart is joyful. The heart is at peace. The heart is at rest. The heart is strong. The heart loves people. The heart produces change in others through actions. The heart draws men unto Christ. The grace in that heart is so powerful. It changes lives. We are so thankful as Christians that God is the one through his power that is changing the heart of all his sons and daughters so that we can enter a kingdom in glory that is perfect, so that we can be vessels of honor in this kingdom on earth. Vessels of honor that he's created in us. And in that we stand. In Jesus' name, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the changed heart. We thank you for your ability through that Holy Spirit to give us the influence to make a difference in a world that is predominantly evil, in a world where the prince of this world is influencing mightily, but the light of the world pushes the darkness away. The light in this world draws people. And the heart of man is strong. Because we are the sons of man. We are yours to be made in the image of Christ. And by the power of that Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that we are able to move in your kingdom. And make a difference, not only through the gospel, but also through the word and through the knowledge of him who sacrificed everything for us so that he could have brothers and sisters and a pure, holy, blameless bride. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 267.